Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 353, Growing Forward. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 14th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Who has been coming to the cell groups and enjoying the book of Acts? Anyone? Yes. It's been really awesome to press into that book and just dig some riches out of it. There's gold in the Word of God for us. And, you know, the book of Acts shows us what a tremendous start to the church, right? It's about the start of the church. It's about what the Holy Spirit initiated in the church and then how the church grew and what were the pillars and what were they all about? Who were they? Recognizing who they were, the identity. They were getting it. You know, they seemed like when they were with Jesus, they had lots of questions and didn't quite really fully understand what Jesus was telling them all the time. And then with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, you know, the disciples, you know, went in hiding at first. But then we see this glorious, tremendous start that the Holy Spirit says, I think they need some help. I think they need some help to really carry out what Jesus told them that they were going to do, right? And so we just see from that moment in Acts 2, and we're going to get into it, we're going to unpack that a bit of the help, the tremendous help, big letters help, H-E-L-P, that the Holy Spirit gave them. And from there, how it just took off. So we can, you know, it's history. It's what happened. It's the origin of the church, of the Holy Spirit's work in the church. But we can glean riches out of that for us today in order for us to imitate the model that was set for us and for us to move forward today in looking at what the Holy Spirit did for them. And what he did for them in the past is no different than what he'll do for us because it's the same Spirit living inside of us, right? Praise the Lord. So let's just jump right in. Are you ready? Okay, ready. I like it. All right. So in Acts 1, you know, when Jesus appears to the disciples within the 40-day period after his death, burial, and resurrection, and before what we call Pentecost, he appeared to them several times, right? And gave them instructions. He ate with them. He did different things with them, right? And he instructed them to wait. Don't we just love to wait? Hurry up and wait. Here's a train. Sit and wait. You got somewhere to be and you got to wait, right? Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has a promise for you, but no, you got to wait. We love waiting. Praise God. But the Holy Spirit is faithful, right? And so what were they waiting for? The gift, right? The gift that was promised, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the presence of God, the power of God on these first believers, on the early church. And so they were told to wait in the upper room. And we pick up, let's look at Acts 1, verse 8. We know this verse, right? This is awesome verse. I'm going to focus mainly on read from the Passion Translation mainly today. And so Acts 1:8, it says, but I promise you this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be seized with power. You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. All right. It's a promise, right? It's not maybe, it's not if you do this. He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to come on you and you will be seized, taken over by power, right? Now we know that when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, right? Every born again believer has the Holy Spirit in them. You receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. But this is different. This is power. When power comes on you, when it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you get totally filled up, right? It's like if I had this water bottle is empty, but then I keep pouring and pouring and pouring, it's going to overflow, right? That's the power. Like when we get born again, think about an electric company, right? The wiring to have electricity, to have lights turned on here. The electric company comes out and maybe they're building a new, you know, you're building a new house or something. And the electric company does, the electrician sets up all the wiring. It's all the equipment is established, right? It's like a new believer. You get all the equipment, you get the Holy Spirit, but the power doesn't come until what? You flip on the lights, right? You got to flip on the lights. It's the dunamis power of the living God. It's him. How can I say it any other way? It's his strength. It's his power. It's his might. Is it anything in us? No, we're just the vessel. We're just the water bottle and he pours into us, right? And so this is a promise that we will be taken over, and as Jesus was telling the disciples, they would be taken over with his power, and they will be equipped, enabled to be his messengers or witnesses to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, all over to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. We could try to do it on our own. Would we get very far? We might physically get to the ends of the earth, but nothing's really going to happen, right? We need his power. We need his might. We need everything about him, that he increases and that we decrease, right? Okay, praise the Lord. So moving on to verse 14. This is Acts 1, 14. And it matches the song we sang today about unity. The Holy Spirit said, play that song. You got to do that song in worship today. And then I realized why, because, oh, right, we're in the book of Acts and we're talking about unity and we're talking about prayer and we're talking about coming together with the presence of God at the center, you know, us around, united around the presence and the power of God. So Acts 1:14 says, all of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding night and day. So it sounds like they obeyed, right? Praise the Lord, they obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Jesus was, you know, ascended into heaven. Bye, guys, I'm going, you know. But the advocate, he's going to be with you, and he's going to seize you with power. So just wait there, right? And so there they are, they're obeying. They're in unity, and we see that they're in what? They're in prayer. Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's good. You got a good Bible then. All right. United and in prayer, gripped with one, with something. It's not just a casual, it's not just a casual thing, right? You're gripped with it. It's like it's overcoming you, right? One passion, interceding night and day. They had the candle lit. They were in vigil, they were waiting, they were obeying, they were united to all together with Jesus and with each other. Are you kidding me? To be in unity today, excuse me, we know that that is a feat. That's a challenge, right? Husband and wife, co-workers, name any example, you know, to get two people to agree on anything is a challenge. Right? So the fact that they were united is a miracle. That's the Holy Spirit. He unites us, right? He's the uniting force. In my Father's house, church family, church body, it's him that unites us. When we are all doing what we need to be doing, when we're all focused on him and his word and doing, you know, making fishers of men, right? And loving each other and forgiving each other, then we're in unity. because we're all looking at what he, we're all marching to his orders, and it works. It works among us. We work together. That's how he designed it. And he, you can see this in the early church, the design of unity, his plan, his dream for us to be together, to be united, to be waiting for instructions like they were. So let's skip ahead here. This is the exciting part. Acts 2, starting with verse 1. We're just going to take this verse by verse. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. All right. So on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled. Oh, it already has a name, this day. Like, God thought of this day. This day was planned. There was a promise about something was going to be fulfilled on this day. That means this day was set. Like, God planned and dreamt of this day and said, there's a set day for this promise to be fulfilled. It's not in our time. When God gives us a promise, it's in his time. And there's a set time for it. Like Ecclesiastes said, there is a season for everything. There's a time for everything. So we can learn from what the disciples showed us here, what they modeled. When we're waiting for a promise, position yourselves. That's so important. You see how they're positioning themselves for the manifestation, the breakthrough of what was promised to them. If you're waiting for a promise, a breakthrough in your life, something that you're believing for and waiting for, are you positioning yourself to receive that? Are you positioning yourself? How do you position yourself? Be in unity with Jesus for number one, right? Be in unity with Jesus. What is he saying? What were his instructions to you? Are you following those instructions, obeying those instructions? And then unity with each other, even if you're waiting for your personal breakthrough. Be in unity with each other. If you've got a stumbling block of resentment or bitterness in your heart, it's going to be hard for you to receive. There's going to be something clogging your pipe for blessing to come through, right? That's why the Bible tells us so much, forgive, forgive. Yeah, I know, I got to forgive this one that hurt me. Yeah, okay. But he wants to get blessings to us. So we have to position ourselves to receive what he has, because there's a set time for it. But are you ready? Is your pipe clear, free of clogs, so in you're in unity? Because faith works through love, right? Amen? Yeah. So that's what the word says, not me. The word says that. So they were also positioning themselves by being in constant prayer. It said they were interceding night and day. Prayer is communion with God. It's fellowship. It's that open line of communication with the Father. So when you're waiting for your breakthrough, be in open communication with the Father. God, I'm not seeing it yet, but what are you doing? I'm seeing, you know, and I could focus on what you're not doing and what I'm not seeing and how I've been waiting so long. But I want to know through prayer what you're doing. What are you doing? And what do you want to work in my heart during this waiting time, this waiting season, right? And so then they obeyed the instructions and they waited. While they were praying, they were positioned in unity with Jesus and with each other. Obedience brings his plan of blessing to our lives. It brings it, the manifestation of his promise in his timing. Hallelujah. I get excited about that. Okay, so then verse 2. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Okay, that first word, suddenly. When I studied this with my cell group, or for my cell group, I stopped on that word and I camped out on that word. Suddenly. Suddenly. Suddenly seems sudden to us, even if you've been waiting for years for something. when it comes at his appointed time. Do you know what I mean? Can you relate to that? To me, it makes sense. I don't know if that makes, if you can identify with that. But, you know, in Sister Rivka was teaching this and sharing this, and we were talking about this on the in the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, talking about the fourth dimension and the third dimension. So heaven, the heavenly realm, is the fourth dimension, right? And physical, what we can see, touch, feel, perceive, everything that we perceive with our five senses is the third dimension. And so here it's saying suddenly something was happening from the fourth dimension, from heaven, and it busted through. It like penetrated the natural, what they were seeing, experiencing, what they could perceive with their senses. Okay, so it said there was a sound. There was a sound that came. There's perceiving with their auditory sense of auditory, right? Auditory sense. It says it came from heaven. Have you heard a sound from heaven penetrating this world here, what you can hear? There's sound effects from the back row. Yeah. Oh, Lord, how we, you know, how cool, right? It's the fourth dimension invading and leaking, if you will, into coming in. Not really leaking, just pushing, because it was forceful and it came with a sound into the third dimension. Now, some of you know that this experience that Santos and I had a few months back, you know, when you walk into a room, you look at the ceiling and think, okay, good. You trust, just like you trust that you're going to sit on a chair and it's going to hold you up. When you walk into a room, you expect the ceiling to stay there, right? And so, well, we had an experience in our home that one of the ceilings in our home, at the bedroom, one of the bedrooms in our home, and there's more details to the story about which bedroom it was and decisions we were making and how there's just a spiritual war going on all the time. But the ceiling fell through, the ceiling in our spare bedroom broke through and all collapsed. What's that stuff called? Drywall and all the stuff, insulation, all of it collapsed on the bed. And I was thinking about this when I got a picture of this when I was reading this verse 2, and it says, suddenly, right? Where did it go? Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast. Well, we didn't really hear it. Santos heard it in the distance because I think it happened while we were asleep one night. But I'm sure it was really louder than what we heard it because we were asleep. But in the other room, praise the God, praise the Lord, we weren't in that bed. But you know, I was just thinking about, you know, heaven, the fourth dimension, is the realm that we cannot see. Most of us cannot see. Sometimes God gives us or people glimpses of it from, and we can see spiritual things, but most of us all the time don't walk around seeing everything from the spiritual realm, right? And so in a ceiling, like what's above this ceiling, we can't see that. It's closed off to us, right? Until that ceiling in our home, it broke through. And so I got a picture of that, like what happened here in Acts 2 of, you know, the Holy Spirit coming in power. Heaven decided now is the time. This is the appointed time. And it crashed through, just like our ceiling crashed through, and all, you know, its glory and insulation, a big mess all over the place. But and there was a sound that came from that, right? And it says it filled the house. It filled the house. It also was not only just, you know, that they could perceive it with their ears, with their sense of hearing, but their eyes. Because what happened next? Verse 3, let's move on to verse 3. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It's something they saw, right? Their sight took that in for them. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. All right, so these tongues of fire came and separated and then hovered over each one of them. Wow. I've never seen something like that. Have you? No. Praise the Lord. What a glorious moment. I think I'd probably be shaking a little bit. You know, like, what is happening here? Something is happening. Heaven just suddenly invaded earth, right? And we're experiencing something that is totally new and foreign and different to us. So then verse 4, it says, they were all filled to overflowing. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never heard. All right, so the other sense here is touch. They could feel. Don't you think if there was a tongue of fire, like real active fire resting on you, you'd be able to feel that? That's going to be hot. Talk about being hot. Are you guys getting warm talking about this now? We're getting warmed up in here, right? Because you're going to feel that fire going through your whole body, kind of like I'm feeling right now. Praise the Lord. Oh, so, you know, you think about filling your gas tank. You fill up your gas tank so it can run. It's got to have some gas at least a little bit, but if you only fill it up a little bit, it's only going to run a little bit, right? If you fill it up all the way, you can go. You can coast. You can go for a long time. You can cruise, right? Hopefully you've never overflowed the gas tank. That happened to me a little bit one time. Don't listen to that, Mr. Fireman sitting in the back row. Okay, so so this is awesome. They were getting equipped. They got their filling and their equipping with the Holy Spirit. This is when the transfer of power and authority from Jesus to people, to humans, to the church, the first church, where this was occurring. Because until this time, the Holy Spirit was an outside, how do you say, an outside being, right? But, and even Jesus had to commune with the Father to get directions, to know what to do, to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, you know, by the Father. He did everything, the word says he did everything he heard and saw his Father do, right? But so in this moment, the Holy Spirit is coming upon each believer and equipping them and filling them up so that they could have it. Each one of us has that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And when we get filled, this is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It overflows. Like if I kept pouring water into this bottle, it's gonna be wet up here. It's gonna overflow, right? And so, praise the Lord, he does that for us. And so then they were empowered to speak. Who spoke? Who spoke? The people spoke, right? Who empowered them to speak? The Holy Spirit brought it, but the people, you like you and me, we have all these amazing things here, you know, throat, mouth, tongue, lips, teeth. What else is involved in talking? I think I got most of it, right? Voice box. What? Air. Yeah. But so my point of saying this is that When a person is getting filled with the Holy Spirit, it is inspired and comes from, and all the ability comes from God. But we have to speak. We have to activate, just like activate your vocal cords, activate everything. If you're going to say hello right now to me, you've got to turn that on and speak it out. Sometimes people struggle with that a little bit when they are receiving the Holy Spirit and think that it's just gonna come out, you know, just, I don't know, come out as if like you're getting sick or something, you know? And I have heard a few people say their experience was a little bit like that, that they couldn't control it at all. They didn't really think about, now I have to open my mouth and speak. It just came like that. But for some other people, you do have to conscious, okay, I'm going to use my voice right now. I'm going to say something and trust that the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, right? Okay, let's move on and see what happened after that, because this is exciting. So they're all speaking languages, and the people started gathering around them, hearing what in the world is happening, these people, and they thought they were drunk, right? And, you know, they were hearing their languages, knowing where these people were from, and hearing that they were speaking a foreign language, but they were understanding these languages. It was incredible. So then what happened? Peter took the opportunity. Peter, who had messed up a little bit when he was with Jesus, you know, previously, wow, he got it, didn't he? He got filled, he got empowered. And so Peter, this is the first instance here where we see Peter stands up and he preaches, man. He preaches the word. So when the Holy Spirit is moving and working, let's take Peter's example and preach. Use the opportunity. If somebody's getting healed or Holy Spirit is moving or doing something, even if you're in Walmart aisle six, well, blue light special, Walmart aisle six. I'm thinking of Sister Tanya sharing a testimony. Look, this is the Holy Spirit. I don't know, remember where they were, downtown or someone. This is the Holy Spirit. She's crying out to people. Well, yeah, take that opportunity and preach the word. Explain to people what's happening and what the Holy Spirit is doing. So I'm getting excited. So people received conviction. The word says that they were cut to the heart, and many were saved and baptized that day. And then what happened? This was the most awesome altar call, right? What an awesome altar call. This was the first church service, and they had 3,000 added to their number that day. That's a pretty good success, I say, for their first go at it, right? Praise God. It was all the Holy Spirit. It wasn't them trying to figure out what program and what do we do for our first service and this and that. No, Holy Spirit had it all. He had it all put together. They just obeyed the instructions that they were given, and they positioned themselves, and look what happened. Let's position ourselves, my Father's house, family, for what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us in 2024. Because we could have an altar call like that. When Holy Spirit breaks out and just starts doing stuff among us, people will come. People will come. I'm getting ahead. But okay, so Acts 2:42, I love this. Every believer, everybody say every believer. Yeah, that's you, that's me, that's all of us, that's not one excluded. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. There's so much in this verse. These are pillars for us. This is what the first church was doing, what they started to do, how they started to organize, who they were and what they were about, right? And so the first thing is that they were following the teachings of the apostles. What is that? Well, that's the word. They followed the word. My very first church that I got saved on the Navajo reservation, it was called Follow the Word. We called it FTW, but Follow the Word was the name of my church. So I say, whenever I say Follow the Word, it just brings joy to my heart, because that was my church that helped me first connect or reconnect to Jesus in an incredible way. That's a story for a different day. So they were following Holy Spirit anointed, skilled instruction and training from the Word. Wow. If we're not founded on the Word here at my Father's house or wherever we go or whatever church we're a part of, then we're building our house on sand, the scripture says. We need to be founded on the word. Matthew 7, I was meditating a lot on these verses this week. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. I want my foundation to be unshakable. How about you? When the rains fell and the flood came with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained and rained and the flood came with wind and waves beating upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away. So there's a metaphor here. The word will keep us on solid ground, right? Let's build our house on this solid ground of the rock of Jesus Christ, his word, right? He is the rock. He is the word made flesh. So, you know, we see so much in society today is trying to sweep us away, entice us away from what is true, what is in here, right? What the nuclear family is, and the list goes on and on. We won't get into all those things, but I just want to say, let us be founded on the rock and not waver from this. More and more, we need to know what this says, and we've got to not just know it up here, we got to know it here. And I hit myself because we got to let it hit our heart. Did you hear that? That made a sound. Let it really hit your heart. Let it download from your head to your heart. Because you can read all this and know it with mental assent and yeah, and this is what happened and recall all the historical accounts. But it is it in your heart? So that when somebody comes and says, well, this is what a family looks like, or this is, you know, whatever, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, because that's not what this says. You're going against the rock. Right? So we need to be building our homes, our foundations, our lives on the rock of the word. Otherwise, just like it said, the rains fell, the flood came, fierce winds, and we end up collapsed. You know, the house ends up collapsed, like my ceiling. And so let's apply this word to our lives and get strong on it this year more than ever before. The word, and here's a little plug for those, a little encouragement for those of us that are fasting. God just kept telling me, let me nourish you. Let my word, I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. Let me nourish you. Let my word nourish you. He is the bread of life, Jesus, right? He's our manna. Let his word not only build you a solid foundation, a solid house on a solid foundation, but let it nourish you, let it guide you, right? And so here at my Father's house, you know, what's the expression of this, of following every believer, being faithfully devoted to the apostles' teaching? Well, that's really up to each one of us. That's up to you. But the way that we provide for that or offer that here at my Father's house is, of course, Sunday services. I'm preaching the word right now, right? Come and be like Sister Krista said, come and don't forsake the fellowshipping together of the believers, because we're hearing the word, right? And it's making our spirit stronger. It's building us up. And we need that. In cell groups, you know, our cell groups aren't a deep theological Bible study, but we do fellowship around the word. We have the word at the center. We're never going to do or talk about things in the cell group that are outside of this. And if I do, then come talk to me and knock me upside the head with your Bible. You can, I give you permission to do that. If I'm telling you or teaching, Tanya's going, you know, if I mean, I want to be corrected if I'm straying away from this. So So do that. So we fellowship around the word in our cell groups, and we are raising disciple makers in the word. You know, we have a training class called DM 101, Disciple Makers 101. And we're using the word always to teach, to put a foundation. So to raise up people that are going to disciple people when we have that 3,000 person altar call one day. Okay? So, because we need more hands on deck, right? All right. So, the next pillar, right? It says, every believer was faithfully devoted. This is Acts 2:42. We talked about the teaching of the apostles. What else? Their hearts, it says, were mutually linked to one another. What's that speak of? Unity. There it is again. Is your heart linked with those around you here, with those in your cell group? Maybe you're newer, and that's okay, and that's a process, and that takes time, but open your heart, right? God made us for fellowship. God made us to iron sharpens iron. There's like themes. I'm not the first one that's saying these things today, right? Unity. They became partners, another version says. They became partners. Have you become partners with other people in this fellowship, in this church body, in your cell group? Become a partner with somebody. Unity is powerful. Everybody wants to feel like they belong to something, correct? Yeah, do you have that feeling? You want to be a part of a group, a family, and if you're not, you feel left out. You feel like an outsider, lonely, right? He created us with this desire for relationship, desire to be together, to not be a lone ranger. And unity, when people are dwelling in unity or working, moving in unity together, it attracts people. It attracts people. It's unusual today because of what we talked about. It's hard to get two people to agree on anything sometimes. So when you have a whole group, a whole church that's in unity and really around the word, around who Jesus is, uniting and partnering around that, that gets people's attention. When I was a full-time missionary in Argentina, we all lived in a house, sometimes 20, sometimes 40 of us. And, our neighbors would tease us like, you guys are like the clown car, the clown house, because you just, you know, we're going somewhere, like all of us, let's say we're going to go do an evangelism event. And like, whether we're coming out of the car or we're coming out of the house, it's just one after another and another. And like, the neighbors are like, where are all these people and where are they coming from? And they all look different. And like, you know, like this one has blue eyes, me, and they called me blonde. I'm considered blonde in Argentina. And then, you know, there's dark skin, there's light skin, there's a variety of languages being spoken. It was a transcultural environment. But yet we had some unity. Some days better than others, but by the grace of God, there was unity there, and we got attention in our neighborhood for that. Like, who is this group, and why? There's people from all over the place, and they have different backgrounds, of course, and they're speaking different languages, but they're unified. And then from that, we could say, it's Jesus. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to bless you in the neighborhood. We're here because of Jesus, and he's united us. And so that's what should be our same thing here. We're all different. We come from different thoughts, backgrounds, family lives, whatever, but God is uniting us. And how does that unity manifest here at my Father's house in a good way manifest? Cell groups, they're designed for relationship, right? They're designed for us to do life together, to link shields of faith together, to support each other, to come around and help each other and encourage each other. How's it going? How are you applying the word of God in your life? Let's walk it out, and let's walk it out together, right? It's different than a Bible study, but we're putting roots, you know, we put roots in the church, roots in relationship, roots with each other, roots in the word. And like I said before, fellowshipping around the word and around who Christ is. Okay, so that's the unity. And then what else? They shared communion. We share communion here, right? This month, it'll be next week. We moved it. Usually it's the first Sunday, but because we had a visitor last week, wasn't that powerful? Praise the Lord. We will have our communion celebration next week. The Bible tells us to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, right? And the first disciples, they were doing that. That's central to who we are, Jesus's death, burial, resurrection on the cross. And it's central to what we believe. So he told us to commemorate that. And then it says they met regularly for prayer. And we do that here as well. And we're increasing that because the Lord has been speaking to our leaders and guiding us to increase our prayer here at my Father's house. So we've been, you know, we have special, last night we had a special time of prayer together during our fasting and prayer season. We seek God. Whatever the particular season or occasion is, we want to seek God together. We want to minister to him together, and we want to come together to get filled up, get our tanks filled up together from him. He's so faithful to do that. And we have Tuesday prayer meeting, and this is awesome. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is happening now, and guess what? Talk about being in unity with people that are different from you. We are connecting with the Lighthouse Church that was birthed out of the Malaysian cell group, and they are in Malaysia, and we're connecting with them during this prayer meeting. And it is fun, and it is awesome, and we're fellowshipping with people. We're learning Chinese, ni hao. That's all I remember. I got to look at my notes. But talk about unity and fellowship, and we're praying together, and it's really awesome. So come and be a part of that. 9 a.m. we pray every Sunday, you know, 9 a.m. we are here. We are praying. Rain, shine, snow, get your snowshoes and just snowshoe over if you can't drive in a vehicle. But get here. Okay, let's move on. Somebody keep me on track. Praise the Lord. Where are we? All right, moving on. Acts 2, after that. Acts 2, 43 through 47. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Did you get that? Signs and wonders, healings are happening. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit was moving. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. There's the unity. And they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joy. Meals! Praise the Lord! We can eat again! Let's share some meals next Monday! Who wants to go have dinner with me? Okay, lunch! Praise the Lord! They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. So we see these things happening. The first aspects of the church, the pillars of the church, we see it here. Multiplication was continuing. The Holy Spirit's working in his presence was happening, right? I'm getting excited. That's how we, the first verse there, verse 43, that they performed many miraculous signs and wonders. People were adding to them. They were meeting, they were functioning in unity, meeting the needs of each other. Generosity was flowing among them. Lives were being changed. People are being discipled by the word of God and lives being transformed. There's nothing better than that. Praise the Lord. So, let's apply that to us at my Father's house. We have the living God. We have the Holy Spirit And most of us in here have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be an opportunity today at the end of the message. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you have not, here's an opportunity, right? So that you can get really plugged into that power. You can have all of what the Holy Spirit has to give you, that filling up, that equipping to go do the work, to serve Him without fear, with boldness, to do the work, get the equipping that He has for you. So there's no reason with that. There's no reason that we can't walk out, that we can't experience what the believers in the book of Acts did. It's not just for them then. It's not just a historical thing that we read. Let's walk it out. Let's do this here, right? Let's talk about miracles, healings, because when people are getting healed, what's going to happen? There's going to be talk. There's going to be attention turned. People are going to come, right? Because the Holy Spirit is doing stuff. And who doesn't know somebody that needs to be healed? Who doesn't know somebody that has cancer and is suffering through, or that has whatever disease or illness or infirmity or pain in their body that doesn't allow them to leave home, or whatever the case may be, right? We've got to activate the power of God on the inside of us to walk like Jesus and the disciples did. Are you hearing me, church? Are you awake? Okay, we've been given that dunamis power, right? And it wasn't just, it's not just pastors. It's all of us. It's everyone. That's why, you know, I made everyone say every believer. They were faithfully devoted to these things, but everybody. It wasn't just the John and Peter show. Let's look at Acts 3. It wasn't just the Pastor Harley and Karen show. You know, it's available to everybody. It's the Holy Spirit doing His thing in each of us, right? And so Acts 3, right? When they go, John and Peter and John go to the gate of the beautiful, somebody help me preach. I'm getting too excited. My tongue's moving faster than, okay. The gate of beautiful, yeah, the the gate beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm getting a little, been drinking up here. Okay. that doesn't happen to me. That doesn't happen to me so often, but praise the Lord. When you preach like preaching this Acts stuff, it just happens, you know. I'm usually like Michael Livengood, that he's like, I'm always the sober one and everyone's drunk on the floor. And I feel like I relate to that. That's usually me, but it's okay to sneak a drink here and there too. If it's okay. All right. I'm not talking about worldly drinking, just to clarify that. Okay. I just don't want somebody, dear Pastor Harley, who is this person that you gave the mic to talking about drinking? Okay. Let's get back on track. Nobody needs to go to lunch today, right? So we're just going to preach for a while. So praise God. So they ministered to this man, this crippled man. They said, look at us. I'm not going to read the whole story, but you can read it. So he received, right? He jumped up, leaping and praising God. And then what happened? The crowd formed around, right? Because they all knew this man that had been always sitting in front of this temple gate. And they knew that he was the crippled one. He was the outcast, right? And now they see him leaping up and jumping up and praising God, and they're like, what is going on? So a crowd gathered around, and then what did they do? They did something smart. They took the opportunity again, and they preached. They preached the word. When signs and wonders happen, preach the word, right? Follow after the word. Preach the word in Jesus' name. And it wasn't just Peter. Others, it says in many places, the apostles performed signs and miracles and wonders. So it's not just elect leaders or just a certain few. It's everyone has this ability. It's available through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the anointing of God. All right, so Acts 3, verse 16. It says, faith, so this is what Peter is preaching, then he's explaining to people what happened to this crippled man who's no longer crippled. He's leaping and praising God on his feet. He says, faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made the crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. He's making it clear that it's not me, it's not John, it's not any of us, it's the power of Jesus that has healed this crippled man. So then what happened? They got in trouble. They went to the special place. They got put in jail. But Acts 4:4, it says, yet there were many in the crowd who believed the message. Despite the persecution, despite them being put into jail and saying, no, you can't preach in this name anymore, look at how the church continued to grow. There were many in the crowd who believed the message, Acts 4:4, bringing the total number of men who believed to nearly 5,000. Wow, more altar calls, successful, victorious altar calls, where people's lives are being transformed and they're surrendering their lives to the Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is getting me excited. So we must prepare for how the Lord wants to use us. God has already equipped us. We know this, right? We have the equipment. We got to walk it out. We got to turn on the lights, right? We got to build faith in the word to operate in the supernatural like the early church did. And so here's some opportunities. We're taking a step as my father's house. We're taking the next step moving into the call that's on this house to be the house of deliverance, to be the house of healing, right? That's what the Lord has spoken over my father's house since the time of its origin, right? 27 years now, are we at? 28. We had our 28th anniversary, right, in November. Okay, praise the Lord. So this will be 29th year. So we are taking that step, a step right now. And what is the step? Like, you're sitting there going, okay, tell me, Pastor Sarah, what can I do? I want to be a part. I want to be united. I want to be a part. I want to walk out. I want to have the Holy Spirit, you know, prepare me and equip me. Okay. Hold, Michelle, will you hold up that sign-up sheet for the Healing Masterclass? There it is. There's your step. Get a pen. Sign your name up there. We have the Healing Masterclass that is for MFH you, MFH members and people that are connected through our cell groups later, because we're piloting it. Later, we will open it up to others. But that is a step that you can take right now. Get equipped. Get the word really into your heart about faith in healing. Receive it for yourselves. Receive it into your body. Become healed and understand then how to give that and share that to others, to lay hands on others and have them be healed in Jesus' name. And then when that happens, a crowd's going to come and you're going to preach, or you have your neighbor, your somebody else in your cell group, somebody else that is the, you know, the mouthpiece, and they speak. You lay their hands, they speak, you work together. There's unity flowing. So let's do this. The Lord showed me that in the Healing Masterclass, you got to get here, be in the building, because the Holy Spirit is going to move. And when we're studying the word about healing, and when you talk about Jesus the healer, Jesus the healer shows up. So you better get here, because Jesus the healer is going to come. He's invited. I mean, he's the first name on there. He's the one that started this whole thing. And so he's Jehovah Rapha, and bodies are going to get healed when we're just listening to the classes and reading over the word together and sharing it. So praise the Lord. Okay. Acts 5, 12 through 16. This is the last scripture. I love this. And we read this and talked about this last night at our prayer meeting too. The apostles performed many signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. There it is. That's proof of what I was saying. Not just Pastor so-and-so, not just leader so-and-so, not just Peter, not just John. The apostles, like all of them, had a part. They performed many signs, wonders, and miracles among the people. And the believers were wonderfully united. Wow, wonderfully united. Thus, that is worth a glory, because nobody was fighting, nobody was in strife. They were wonderfully united as they met regularly in the temple courts in the area known as Solomon's Porch. No one dared harm them, for everyone held them in high regard. Hallelujah. Continually, more and more people believed in the Lord and were added to their number, great crowds of both men and women. In fact, when people knew Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick out to the streets and laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. Great numbers of people swarmed into Jerusalem from the nearby villages. They brought with them the sick and those troubled by demons, and everyone was healed. Praise the Lord. Other versions say, and Peter's shadow, that Peter's shadow was cast, right? And people were healed from that. Praise the Lord. And if you heard the message that I shared with you on Christmas Eve, we talked about that word, the shadow here, that word where it says shadow, it's the Greek word episkiazo. And it means, it's actually the anointing of God. It's the power of God shadow coming over Peter, coming over you, any of us believers, to heal the sick. It's the power of God working through us to heal the sick and release what God wants to release to the people so that they get up off their sick bed, off their cots and mats. Great numbers of people swarmed then into the villages. They brought their sick with them and those troubled by demons. There it is, the house of deliverance, the house of healing. They go closely together. We have authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We've been equipped with the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have not and you desire that today, then in a moment here, we will pray with you. We will pray for you. Because he has awesome things for each one. And he's provided a way so that we can operate like the apostles operated, like Jesus operated. And it says we will do even greater works than Jesus did. Let's get going, church. We got some greater works to do. We got some greater works. This should be our normal, that people are getting healed and set free, that we're seeing the power of God manifest when we come together. The Lord was beginning to tell me, like, he's turning up the volume when we meet together in that meeting together is two or three, right? Or gathered in my name. But especially when we come together, like on Sundays, he said, like, be prepared for a fresh outpouring of my Holy Spirit, of manifestations of my giftings and my power working. So you're going to be hearing more words of knowledge released. You're going to be hearing more words of wisdom released. You're going to hear messages given in tongues and those messages being interpreted. You're going to see people being healed. You're going to see, what else? Demons cast out and people go free. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting excited or just me? Okay, good. I'm not alone. We're in unity then. Praise God. This is something to get excited about. Let's build into our future by seeing, you know, really modeling or imitating, I should say, imitating the model of what we see here, what these verses that we just highlighted from the book of Acts. And please go and study it more and get it in your heart that this is us. This is my Father's house. This is what we've been called to. He's equipped us. He wants us to prepare. He wants us to take these steps. So we'll see you on, well, I mean, I'll see you before then, but February 2nd, Well, yeah. Praise God. Well, we'll see you for those healing master classes. Praise God. There, she's been drinking again. We need each one of us stepping into what the Holy Spirit has. And he's got it for you. He has his power for you. He has good things for you. So this is the other thing that the Lord told me. Like, let's make, he said, like, let's make Jesus famous in Fort Wayne. Because, you know, we could, there's always a temptation there, that we must guard ourselves against pride, because when healings are happening, like we said, people's attention is going to be turned to us and where those healings are occurring, right? And so we could take all, you know, we could at my father's house, oh, we're famous, and oh, pastor this so-and-so, and apostle so-and-so, and oh, look, and la, 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 and all that will fall short, because it's Jesus. Let's make Jesus famous in Fort Wayne. It's all about his name. We stay low and we just walk in what he wants us to walk in, which is raising the dead and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and all those things. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, please stand. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.